All right, welcome back to another episode of Locked On Jaguars, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I am your host, Zach Goodall. You can make sure to throw me a follow on Twitter at Zach_Goodall, as well as my co-host, Chris Thornton, at Misto Christopho. Chris, say what's up to the people.
Welcome to tank season.
Welcome to tank season. I am on board with Chris on that, and we're going to get a lot more of that throughout today's show. But as well as following our two personal Twitter handles, make sure to follow Locked On Jaguars on Twitter at Locked On Jaguars. Subscribe on all podcast streaming services, the Apple Podcasts app, Spotify, Google Play, Stitch. You can listen to us here on the main Megaphone service, which is free listening for everyone. And be sure to check out the site as well, lockedonjaguars.com. Got a lot of content coming over there, including mock drafts. Posted the first mock draft of the year only through week 8, a lot earlier than we were expecting to do it this year. But at 3-5 on a 4-game losing streak entering the bye, here we are. And that's exactly what we're going to talk about today. We're going to recap a little bit of the game in London and all the news and events that went on this weekend. I know we missed the immediate recap pod, but we were both a little busy and wanted to take some time to grieve. So we'll do a little bit of talking about London and the trade deadline coming up at 4 p.m. on Tuesday, if the Jags will be active in it or not, and looking towards the future, what we'll discuss the rest of the bye week, all that fun stuff. So, Chris, if you had to sum up the weekend in London, not even just the game, but the weekend in London, how would you do it with one word?
Oh, dang it. Well, I'll say GIF, and the GIF that I'm thinking of is not great, Bob. That's pretty much the best way to accurately describe the entire weekend in London.
Not great. And I completely agree. We'll talk a little bit about the game, but before we get to that, if you haven't heard, which I know you have by now, the Jaguars had 4 players detained after running a $64,000+ bar tab in London on Friday night at 4 o'clock in the morning. Barry Church, Ronnie Harrison, Gerard Wilson, and DJ Hayden were the suspects in the case, as well as 5 other Jaguars were reportedly present, that being Dante Fowler, TJ Yeldon, Leon Jacobs, Telvin Smith, and Miles Jack. But those 5 were not arrested at the scene. So it sounds as if there was a misunderstanding, at least according to what the Jaguars are saying. Players felt like they were being comped this alcohol that they were being sent, and the bar hit them with the, you got to pay for this stuff, bud. And from that point on, there was rumors of getting heated with the bouncers, stuff like that. The team doesn't want to come out publicly with any more details than what's already out there. But we broke the story around Jaguars media after a UK tabloid magazine, The Sun UK, posted what details they had, and it was a really difficult one to try and break because London's so much different compared to the United States. Arrest records are not public whatsoever in London. Someone responded to my tweet posting about it, how arrest records are not public, and he said, the only time you'll ever get any hint as to the actual names from law enforcement themselves is if this goes to Parliament and they still literally might just call them Jaguars defensive backs and not put their names out there. But from sources that pieced together this story, it appeared to be Barry Church, Hayden, Wilson, and Harrison that were the 4 that were detained. So we were able to get that story out there as soon as it broke. And Chris, after a week of drama, Yannick Ngakoue getting held back in the locker room for arguing with other teammates, yelling and screaming. The team's now on a 4-game losing streak. There's a huge distraction going on 12 hours before the game starts. Media's up at 2 o'clock in the morning in London freaking out over what's going on. Like, that's just absolutely not what this team needed on top of literally a 4-game losing streak, right?
Yeah, it seems that the bandwagon is starting to burn a little bit. It's not great. It's definitely something that I didn't think we'd be witnessing this year, the almost complete utter collapse from the inside out of the Jaguars. Fumes going on inside the locker room, on the field. They're just not, I mean, they played better in London. Definitely not their worst outing of the year, but they just still can't get it done. I thought the defense looked much better. They forced turnovers. They were getting sacks. They almost looked like their old selves, but then just still third down incompetency just seems to plague them this year. They probably, I don't know, it wouldn't surprise me if they're the worst third down defense in the league. But another thing is just that offensive line, but we can talk about that a little later. But the team just seems to be self-destructing right now, and I'm really hoping this bye week allows them to just kind of hit the reset button. And I mean, maybe there'll be a coaching change, maybe there'll be trades. We'll be talking that later in the show as well in depth, but not great, just not great right now.
Yeah, I wrote the other day, well, right after the game ended, about five areas of focus that they need to hone in on, whatever the phrase is, and I'm sorry for lacking, I'm tired, that they need to focus on this bye week. And one of them was utilizing the trade deadline, which, like you said, we're going to talk about in the next segment. The other four came from a literal personnel standpoint and coaching standpoint with this team during the bye week. I think they need to reemphasize the run game as the offense's identity. I mean, you literally just traded for Carlos Hyde. It became public that 12 hours after trading for him, you were trying to give him a crash course of the playbook to force him to play less than 48 hours after the trade went through. And then he can't play then, obviously. You give him a whole week of practice and you give him the ball six times. And I looked into it, and the Jaguars in their past four games, even with TJ Yeldon running the ball effectively, have run the ball on 19% of offensive plays. They have thrown 40 plus times in every single game going back to Kansas City. And so much for saying, I want to run the ball on every single play. I want Blake Bortles to throw the ball zero times per game. That is a direct quote from Doug Marrone. Where is that power running game? So that's one thing I think they need to fix up during the bye week. I think they need to move Linder to tackle. I will stay on that train until I die. And I think the bye week's a perfect time to make a change like that. And it doesn't just have to be Linder moving to a different position. But anything that you're really trying to make a drastic change with, there's no better time than the bye week, as well as obviously getting the team put together in a much more positive attitude and give them the opportunity to turn things around, take advantage of the bye week to get comfortable. And with all the drama off the field, you need to get a grip on this locker room right now too. Now, those are obviously my takeaways. Chris, what do you think they need to really focus on during the bye week other than the trade deadline?
I mean, a coaching change would be great. Just maybe some fresh stuff in there, because obviously what's going on isn't working. But David Carr of the NFL Network was mentioning just this, or was talking about this whole Bortles situation. And he was going into what they need to do is they just need to go back and look at all the film and see what was working and what's not, and really just kind of build a game plan around Blake, because I don't think they're trading for a quarterback. It would shock me if they do. But they really just need, if they're going to roll with Blake, they need to just tailor fit an offense for him. And not this, what David Carr said was a cookie cutter offense where you just have short slants and then you have guys on the outside running goes. Like, you need to actually build an offense. And if you're Marrone or Caldwell or whatever, and you're keeping Nathaniel Hackett, this is probably his last chance to probably redeem himself. And you need to build an offense, as hard as that might be, around Blake Bortles, that can work, because there are some things that Blake, I'm sure, could probably excel in, because we've seen him excel in certain games, and that's like the Patriots game. Hackett was calling a beautiful game, and they just traded for a running back. They need to learn how to use him, and then you'll have Leonard Fournette coming back, so I don't even know how that's going to work. You're going to have Hyde, Fournette, and TJ Yeldon. There's not a whole lot of snaps to go around. I mean, what, you have like 10 rushing snaps, so each one's going to get 2.5, 3, but that's something that you need to do. But it's also hurting the passing game, because this offensive line is just absolutely atrocious right now. I tweeted out today that the Jaguars offensive line, although they only let up one sack against the Eagles, they let up 22 pressures in the Eagles game, which is ridiculous.
Do you know where they came from?
Josh Walker let up 10. And AJ
he lit up 10.
And AJ can let up 7.
He lit up 10.
Yes.
So he's allowed 28 in 3.5 games.
He let up 9 hurries and 1 hit. And then he's AJ allowed- can AJ can let up 7 pressures total, had 1 penalty, let up 1 hit and 6 hurries. Lindor then drops down to 3. Carlos Hyde had 2, and Parnell had 2. And I've seen a lot of shit talk on Andrew Norwell, and he let up a big fat 0 pressures this week, so the haters can suck it. And he had 89.2 pass block grade. That's my left guard. But I won't go too into that. Josh Walker is not it at left tackle, and they signed Eric Flowers for a reason, and I think they might as well just try him at this point because you're not probably getting much worse than Josh Walker at this point.
Yeah, I don't think that Walker has worked out there whatsoever, and I think that pressure count is a certainly decent way to look at it. I mean, that would be, what, 8-ish pressure, 8 to 9 pressures a game since he's played 3.5. I'm not doing the division when we're starting to get into decimals and stuff like that. I didn't like math well, in school, and I don't like four it now.
Games, in his 4 games, he let up 9 against Kansas City, 4 against Dallas, 5 against Houston, and 10 against Philly. So, it's a lot.
Yeah, it's certainly a lot.
It's not great. He has a nice big 21.7 pass block rating against Philly this past week. So Josh Walker ain't it, folks.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, we're on your third right or your third left tackle, but still.
You have options, too.
You have options. Like you said, you have Brandon Lindor, who you could probably throw out there, and he'll probably be a formidable and a probably very good left tackle for you in the meantime. And then you have Eric Flowers, who you claim for a reason. You obviously like something about him. Why not trot him out? Maybe that's what they're going to do during the bye week. Maybe they just had to get Flowers acclimated a little more before they trot him out, and they just had to tell Walker, hey, you got to survive one more week. So maybe that's what they're doing, but, I mean, you got to do something out there because 10 pressures outside is just not going to do it, especially when you have a struggling quarterback in Blake.
Doug Marrone said after the Houston game that every position on offense was open to competition. That clearly was not the case because a day later, Blake Bortles was renamed starter before they could even compete for the job. And absolutely no starters changed against Philadelphia whatsoever. Now, the offense had a better game against Philly than they've had in their past 4 weeks, but that doesn't mean it was good either, especially like we said about game planning, abandoning the run. Bortles was missing a ton of throws left and right. So I guess Marrone lied about the positions being open that week, but maybe he was just kind of alluding to them being open during the bye week, and we will see if they're willing to make drastic changes during the bye week to what's obviously not working. But considering it didn't happen last week, I'm not trusting too much that anything significant will happen along those fronts. But we will see, as it's going to be a long bye week. And it starts with the NFL trade deadline, which is Tuesday at 4 o'clock. So when we come back from these short messages, we are going to be breaking down whether or not we believe the Jaguars will be active on those phone lines, who they could be calling about, who they could be calling to send.
You know, ever since I started this podcast, people have been asking me for advice. Usually, it's what team to bet on this week. The truth is, I don't know who's going to win. But if you think you know, you got to check out MyBookie. Remember, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. That's why I always tell people to bet with MyBookie. Trust me, guys, they're your best bet this season. They've been in the business for years, have great reviews online, and their mobile site is easy to use. I would only recommend a service to my listeners that's been good to me. That's why I'm urging you to make your way to MyBookie. You win, they pay. They have in-game, live betting, over-unders on fantasy points scored, and the most rewarding player perks in the business. MyBookie is slammed with new bettors and wants to give everyone the best service possible. If you're willing to deposit after 7 p.m. Eastern Time, they'll give you an additional $25 free play on deposits over $100. Join now and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Use promo code LOCKEDON25 to activate this offer. Visit MyBookie today. That's MyBookie. And don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON25 when creating your account to claim up to $1,000 in free play. If you're willing to hold out until 7 p.m., you get an extra $25 free play by using promo code LOCKEDON and add 25 at the end of it. If it's up to you guys, but I'd wait until after dinner to take extra money. You play, you win, you get paid.
The deadline is at 4 p.m. on Tuesday. You might be listening to this right now with it being 4 p.m. today, just depending on when you downloaded the pod. But it's coming. It's coming really quickly. The Jaguars have already been active, technically, in trading for Carlos Hyde. Now 2 weeks ago, sending a fifth-round pick to Cleveland. But a team that was built to win either last year or this year, and the hype was there for them to be truly dominant in Super Bowl contenders, sitting on a four-game losing streak, entering the week of the NFL trade deadline at 3-5 with their season all but lost, should certainly be using the NFL trade deadline, especially considering how dramatic it's supposed to be. It is supposed to be wild. There are plenty of players that are either requesting or hinted at being traded by 4 p.m.'s deadline. Chris, without getting too much into projecting just yet, do you think the Jaguars will be active around the deadline? And do you think that if they are, whether they'll be buyers or whether they'll be sellers?
That's a tough one. Should they? Absolutely. Will they? Doubtful. This regime seems too stubborn on who they have on their roster, but maybe they'll surprise, because they surprised us by getting Carlos Hyde. I wasn't expecting them to actually make a significant move at running back. Seems like they might have done it a little late, but I'm going to say probably not. They might do like a single trade, and it's probably going to be a low-tier trade, but I would like to think that they're sellers, but also, I mean,
that also admits that the season's gone, and we don't know if they're the type of team to do that either.
Because the difference between this year and last year is when they made the trade towards the deadline for Marcell Dareus, that was to patch really the only weakness they seemed to have on their defense last year, and that was run defense, and that was a monstrous upgrade for them on the defensive line. Now this year, they got a lot of holes they got to patch, and at this point, you got to be a seller. If you're buying, you're either trading for somebody like a Golden Tate, where you are planning on having him as a weapon for years to come. But I think at this point you're shopping your guys and you're trying to stockpile picks to either make a lot of selections because you got a lot of holes in the draft, or you use that as ammo to make a few big trade-ups in the draft.
Yeah, I agree. And with that Hyde trade, they did part their fifth-round pick. They also will likely part their seventh-round pick this year after they traded for Cody Kessler in the offseason. So that would leave them with five picks remaining. Can't imagine, unless they truly think, hey, we're winning the Super Bowl this year, if we can turn this thing around, them parting for anything else. Now, if they were, and we'll break down both sides of this, to be buyers, who do you think they would go after, Chris? Or who would you like? Let me rephrase that. Who would you like for them to go after and why?
You can
give two options, because obviously I think the easy answer is quarterback. So if you wanted to say quarterback, for sure, give me one of those, and then one that's not.
I mean, the most intriguing quarterback one is what Phillip over at BCC and here at Lock on Jaguars, but it's not really draft season yet for him. But Phillip's article where the Jaguars basically pull a Texans and ship to the Browns Blake Bortles and his massive contract for our big Blake Bortles and a second round pick to Cleveland to shed that contract, and in return you get Tyrod Taylor. That's probably the most intriguing quarterback trade, but I don't think they'll do that because Cleveland is currently trading house, and I don't think Dorsey anymore wants to be that guy that just takes on bad cap and then just stockpiles picks. I think he kind of wants to be a little more respected in this league, so I don't think they make that trade. As for trading for somebody, Golden Tate is intriguing to me now. A few weeks ago when the Jaguars are actually good, I was against that trade. I didn't really think it was necessary. But now, I mean, if the Jags wanted to ship a third or a fourth round pick for Golden Tate, I mean, shoot, why not? I mean, draft picks aren't as valuable as people think. And yes, you can hit on some guys, but you can also miss on some guys. Look, I mean, if you're looking at third-round picks, would you rather have a third-round pick and trade for Golden Tate or have a guy like DeJuan Smoot, who I don't even think has been active at all this year? So that's the name of the game. Why it's, you have that boom, you have that boom or bust, obviously, in third round picks. They could either be a home run for you or they can be a bust, as we've seen in the past. So Golden Tate would probably be an intriguing trade. There's not really a whole lot I'd like to sell. I think if I got a bunch of notifications of the Jaguars being busy, I'd like to see a lot of guys shopped, whether it be Dante Fowler, Barry Church, Calais Campbell, just a whole bunch of names that I wouldn't mind parting with. I tweeted out a whole list of players that I think that are almost untouchable to me on this Jaguars roster, and everybody else is fair game.
Yeah, and I'm with you on the selling aspect. I do think it's going to be hard to part with some key guys, at least from a fan perspective, but they've got to understand the nature of the business. What sucks about it is that Dave Caldwell is like a fan himself and marries himself to a lot of guys. Obviously, the elephant in the room being Blake Bortles, but first round picks in general. Dante Fowler isn't going to be a Jaguar after this year, unless by some miracle, and I don't know why I call it a miracle because I'm not the biggest DFJ fan, but I guess miracle for the Jaguars and Fowler, the mutual interest is there. They decide to part ways with a bunch of guys like Campbell, who has an out in his deal, Church, Parnell, Darius, a couple of different guys that really clear cap room just to bring back a rotational edge rusher. I think it'd be really stupid to pay him a lot of money when you've got a guy that plays the position you want him to play at weak side defensive end a lot better than he does. In which case, I do believe he'll test the open market unless the team really, really tried to bring him back. In which case, he'll get paid. He will get paid to be a starter elsewhere. So why do you not capitalize on the investment a team might make in him now? Because teams can extend him as soon as they trade for him. He does not have a fifth-year option that teams would be tied down to if they traded for him. That makes his price a lot nicer looking for the Jaguars if you were to send him away. A team might send even a second-round pick for him because he has been flashy and has gotten a lot of pressure when he's been on the field this year in his rotational role, obviously, after a breakout year last year. I think if I were a GM, I'd take a third-round pick for him right now. That's four picks by the end of day two for the Jaguars, in return for which Fowler could have just walked in free agency and you got nothing back except potentially a comp pick in 2020. So I think that would be a really good sell move. You said Campbell, that'd be really hard for the fan base, but you have to understand the out in his deal. He is getting older. He's effective. He's a leader. So that makes it hard. And they very well could decide that they still want to keep that around. But if they're looking to get a lot more cap space to sign guys like Jack Ramsey and Ngakoue this offseason, Campbell could be a guy that they have to let go, which would really suck. I do completely back that and want to make clear that that would really suck. It might be the nature of the game, in which case maybe a contender will trade for his services to use him in a rotating role, almost like Fowler is here, but at the bigger defensive end spot. And we just have to see what type of interest he'd get. If they're buyers, I agree at receiver. I think Devontae Parker could be an option because he's a dude that, while he's been inconsistent in his time in Miami, was really kind of slighted this year, not played when he should have played. That's what all Dolphins fans and analysts alike were saying on my timeline when he blew up on Thursday against the Texans. Why haven't we seen this out of Devontae Parker? Oh, that's right, because he hasn't been being used this year, and they've held back that potential that he offers. He's a big play threat. He, I think, averaged 20-some yards per catch at one point during his NFL career. Now, granted, it was on like fewer targets. It wasn't like a substantial amount of targets, but he was an effective playmaker on a decent amount of targets, whatever year that was. Dating back to the start of 2017, he has 109 targets and only 3 drops. The Jaguars have 23 drops this year, so he's not a guy that'll drop the ball. He's a big play guy at 6'4", 210, who can go up and win contested catches. Maybe you call Miami and see if his price is not too expensive. Maybe you call the Raiders just to see, like, hey, you guys, we know you're selling, like, your arms, legs, heads, fingers, and toes to across the entire NFL. What about Jared Cook? With our tight ends being so banged up, he's on the end of his cheap 2-year deal in Oakland, a little bit aging yet productive receiver, 32 years old, has 32 receptions for 400 yards this year, a guy that can come in and finish out his contract here, filling in for ASJ and Niles Paul while they're on the injured reserve. Maybe Kelechi Osemele, He's a guy who has played every position except center on the offensive line on a bit of an expensive deal, but there are things you could do this offseason to, you know, kind of fix that. His guarantees are out of the way, so if he sucks, worst case, you just cut him for no dead cap. But you could let a guy like Church go or Parnell go this offseason and continue to pay Osamele, have him at right guard as the long-term replacement for AJ Cann. Not long-term, but 2 to 3 years down the road. But right now, filling at left tackle. So there are definitely upgrades available, I think, on this market that they could look at. It's just a question of whether or not they want to send stuff away. Or maybe if they package things, they send Fowler or someone away to another team, and in return, then use whatever they get back to trade away. So it could really, really, really be interesting, man.
Yeah, I think if they had a buy... If they had a buy into somebody, I think they're definitely selling too. Because, I mean, if you're just like Golden Tate, for example, his contract for this year, and he's a free agent after this year, so that might make the trade even more intriguing for the Lions to get something for Tate, which means you'd have to extend Tate beyond this year if you like him. So that's another thing. That's some more money. But I could expect a big change up in this Jaguars roster going into the next year, but obviously that's talking to the future. But the Jags are sitting at like $10.2 million right now in cap, and a guy like Golden Tate would get $9 million. So obviously, if you're going to want to make a move for a guy like that, you're going to have to move somebody. And I mean, if we're just looking at the top cap numbers, Calais obviously leads that with $17.5 million. But Dante Fowler, if you move him, that frees up $7.2 million right there. Maybe if you can move Barry Church, that's five flat. Avery Jones is another guy, 3.5, but Avery Jones has been playing pretty well this year, so I couldn't see them. TJ Yeldon also could be a very surprised candidate, because you have Fournette likely to come back, and you have Carlos Hyde, and TJ Yeldon's likely gone after this year. I don't know if Hackett just doesn't like Yeldon, but although his cap number isn't big, I think you could fetch decent value for TJ Yeldon, because like I've often said, in free agency this year, I think TJ Yeldon's going to be the consolation prize for whoever doesn't get Le'Veon Bell. So maybe a team wants to just trade a pick and know what they're getting in Yeldon and not have to worry about a bidding war come free agency for TJ Yeldon. So that could be a surprise trade. It wouldn't surprise me at all if I saw that TJ Yeldon was traded to somebody who could use a passing back like him. And I think he'd be fairly productive once he got to his respective team, especially if the offensive coordinator that he's going to can actually use him and utilize him.
Certainly has the potential to be a really jam-packed, intriguing trade deadline for the Jaguars. And Lord knows they need some type of improvement or, you know, something good to happen around the deadline. So naturally, nothing's going to happen. But if you're looking to keep updated with the trade deadline, assuming moves do happen, make sure to bookmark and keep your eyes glued to LockedOnJaguars.com. And we'll also probably do a rapid recap podcast if anything is to happen, but we'll be updating it there. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about exactly what we're going to do during the bye week. We don't really have it planned out. We're just going to kind of wing it. But I'm sure you guys want to stay tuned and figure it out anyway. So when we come back from these short messages, you'll hear just that. So the bye week is here. Last year, we, during the bye week, were still really concerned about the performances of Blake Bortles, because there were weeks of dominance. There were weeks of really bad. The Jaguars, what was their record at the bye week last year? It was better than last year for sure, but still hovering close to 500, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I mean, because they had that whole win-loss deal going on last year. So it was probably, 4-3 going into the bye, something like that?
Something like that. And we were really questioning on what the future would be with Blake Bortles. So we used our bye week.
Even that, the whole question was just, can they win 2 in a row? And then coming out of the bye, they play. No,
they did.
They played. Did we play the Colts coming out of the bye last year too, like we are this year?
That I can't remember.
I'll have to look at last year's schedule, but man, if the Colts were at last year, then maybe the Colts can break our slump this year. But spoiler alert, the Colts are playing some pretty damn good football right now. And like I've said, I believe I've said on the podcast, if not, it was just behind closed doors. It wouldn't surprise me if the Colts somehow muster out and win the AFC South.
It wouldn't shock me if anyone not named the Jaguars at this point, maybe the Titans, but it's not gone according to plan. Last year's bye week with status uncertain for Bortles, but the team looking pretty good. We still talked about NFL draft quarterbacks. We had a guest on for every pod breaking down all these different draft quarterbacks. I don't know if we're going to approach it exactly the same this year, bringing on a guest to scout quarterbacks on each episode. I am sure to fill time because it's the bye week. Unless there is news that we need to cover, we are going to be doing some draft talk and off-season talk with how this team has been performing as of late. And quarterbacks could certainly be a part of that discussion. In the mock draft I did today, I had the Jaguars taking a quarterback in the second round. I'm sure Chris is going to be diving a lot into draft content. So, like I said, this wasn't really planned as to exactly how we were going to approach it. We figured we'd freestyle and actually move forward with a plan here. But Chris, you were telling me before the show that you want to start diving more into draft content. Is that what you're going to do this week? Do you think we can provide some quarterback takes, or are we going to kind of look all around the different realms of draft world?
I mean, it's draft. I love draft season. I don't know if anybody's noticed that, but it's my favorite season. I might like draft season more than actual football season. Just diving into all these prospects, seeing how they go, seeing guys like my forever son, George Kittle, come out of Iowa and steal my heart, go in the fifth round, extremely underrated, and go just kill it in San Francisco. Just warms my heart seeing guys like that. But I'll be diving into draft stuff definitely this bye week. Now that my work schedule's kind of opened up to where I can do that. But quarterbacks, one guy I'm definitely diving into right now is David Blau. He was mentioned to me and Zach on Twitter after his big win over Ohio State. Looking at him, he's pretty intriguing. I definitely got to dive into more. O-line will definitely be a big one. O-line and tight end, that's kind of the brand at this point. But diving into them, seeing just because the Jags need help at both of those positions, especially in right guard, right tackle. Well, maybe not right tackle. They have Will Richardson, but definitely right guard because I thought AJ Ken might have it all together going into this year, and he definitely does not. He is still bad. AJ can't. So left tackle, I won't say it's a question mark, but maybe not as solidified as some might think. But left guard, center, whatever you look at. Or maybe the Jags draft a center and then put Linder back to right guard. That's always a possibility. But going back before, the Jaguars did not play the Colts after their bye. They played the Colts before their bye. So they got a win, went into the bye, and then they won three straight against the Bengals, Chargers, and Browns. So that is just kind of going back on that previous tangent. But, yeah, you can expect some draft stuff. I don't know if it'll be an article or not, or maybe just a few videos on the timeline, maybe a GIF thread or two, though I'm not really a big fan of GIF threads. But that'll be something to I think I'll give you guys some content, maybe some little less known guys that you might not be hearing about.
Yeah, I'm planning on doing the same thing. I've actually just downloaded a new software today for screen recording, so it won't just be GIFs, but I'll be able to do actual videos with audio breaking down plays. I can actually draw, which is really cool, so I don't have to do the little pointed arrows towards a player during GIFs, because that's the only thing that GIF Cam made available to me to edit my clips. But I'll actually be able to draw out what's happening on plays, really break down some scouting. I'm going to start looking into quarterbacks a lot more. I think offensive line will be a focus as well. There's some guards that I really like in this class that the Jaguars could utilize if they continue to run power. If that Nathaniel Hackett is here at this time, during the draft, I should say, next this upcoming year, if they still want to focus this thing around Leonard Fournette, some guys that could utilize in the power blocking game. Quarterbacks that I'm going to look at, I'm really going to break down Daniel Jones out of Duke. He appears to be a true scheme fit into what the Jaguars want to do from the little bit of viewing that I did today. We're going to get in depth with it over the next couple of days. I'm sure we'll talk about him as well as some other quarterbacks this week on the podcast. And then otherwise, yeah, I guess pretty much keeping it to breaking news as the week goes. It might be a boring week, but we're still going to try and get four shows out there this week for you, the people. And if you want to find those shows, make sure to subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, anywhere you can find podcasts. I'm sure you can find us. bookmark the Locked On Jaguars site, lockedonjaguars.com, where a lot of our work is going to be going, especially with this draft content, and any breaking news will be written in word form on the website. You can hear us on audio form by subscribing to the Locked On Jaguars podcast. Leave those ratings and reviews. We are two away from 50. We hit our goal for listens in the month of October. We are just ever so shy of hitting our ratings record. Or goal, I should say. So go ahead and break that 50 threshold for us right now. Go leave those ratings. We will catch up with you guys next time.